listening, Dean? I said, Carolina. Dean?
Hello,
Dean.
Jeff. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
I gotcha. I just want to see if you're there. The voice of South Dakota. Right. Are you still working on your Christine Noem biography?
yeah, I got to go out and shoot my dog, though, first, you know.
Yeah, it's called The Puppy Killer, right? Isn't that it? Christy the Puppy Killer.
Get my camouflage on, you know, and get my shit stolen at the airport next, you know, which I'm working on.
That's right. That's right. You're up on it.
And then I'll be right there, man. Yeah.
You know, I must say that when you eyeball, yes, when you eyeball the panorama of, well, I'll be charitable and say Trump chose most of the appointments that he made. He didn't. He was told who to pick. But anyway, it's a pretty grim roster. This is the best again. I mean, people were expecting the best. And they put him back in there. Actually, he's won three elections in a row now. But I believe they wanted Biden in there for 4 years just to cause people no end of grief, which they did. Here's Trump now. We know Trump's ego. It's like a turbo cancer. It's not going to be stopped. No way to stop it. You cannot stop an ego like this. Here's the story for today. Trump rages after negative polling, demands investigations. He's like, it gets funnier all the time. President Donald Trump on Monday said that pollsters reporting a recent slide in his approval ratings should be investigated for election fraud over how wrong they were during his re-election campaign as the country approaches Trump's 100th day in office and markets continue to pivot over his chaotic messaging. Remember I said from the very beginning this is going to be nothing but chaos? I'm no prophet. It didn't take much of a brain to figure that out. That's what they're doing.
Right.
The guy's nuts. Citing recent polls from the New York Times, Washington Post, ABC News, we can all do fine without any of those, and Fox News, Trump wrote on his Truth Social platform today, quote, there are negative criminals. There are negative criminals who apologize to their subscribers and readers after I win elections big, much bigger than their polls showed I would win. Lose a lot of credibility and then go on cheating and lying for the next cycle, only worse. Trump's semi-literate posts. Sometimes he writes, I can't figure out what he's saying. Get this one now. These pollsters, these people, should be investigated for election fraud and add in the Fox News pollster while you're at it. They suffer from Trump derangement syndrome, and there is nothing that anyone or anything can do about it. They are sick, said the Don, almost only writing negative stories about me, no matter how well I am doing. 99.9% at the border. Look at that. Best number ever. And are truly the enemy of the people. So now Trump says these pollsters are the enemy of the people because they're reporting however it is. And we know a lot of the polls are BS. I wish them well, but we'll continue to fight to make America great again, Trump continued. This guy is really certifiable. He's out there. He's certifiable as to what? You fill in the blank. But this guy is out there. He really is.
Yeah. Yep. RT had a headline and said, Trump says he rules the world. So, yeah.
I didn't get there yet.
It's just like, that's where we're at. We can't even bombing the Houthis, but they hit that ship today, that Israeli ship that the Houthis seized, you know, early on.
Yeah.
And parked it in port in Yemen, and they're holding it, you know. And anyway, the U.S. fired at Yemen today, and they hit that ship and damaged it real bad. And then the Yemeni army fired back and hit the Nimitz and forced it to retreat again to the north. Also, they hit Ashkelon, and they hit a military base in Israel with little unmanned aerial drones that they make domestically. Quite the arms industry going on in Yemen. These guys are pretty
smart.
They're
actually making these. They're probably getting a lot of help from Iran, I would imagine. That was,
I guess, technical
expected,
stuff, probably. They are cranking them out now. And they're deadly. I mean, they're just, so we're kind of at that stage. Yeah, it's like the most powerful country in the world with the biggest aircraft carriers. And, you know, we've talked about it before, how these aircraft carriers are just sitting ducks, right? So they're obsolete.
Oh, they're floating graveyards. Yeah. You bet.
Yeah, so now it's just the drones and the, you know, these poor countries actually have a chance because of this new low-tech form of warfare, these drones, unmanned aerial things. And, crazy.
I don't
crazy
know, Dean, I don't know, and you're right. I don't mean to bypass what you're saying at all. You're right. I don't know with all the attacks, and I mean missile launches, drone launches against American warships in that area, if all of them have been shot down or have any of them hit any of our ships. We don't know, and they won't tell us.
But yeah, Press TV says they have some of them, but yeah, they wouldn't tell us. I know Ashkelon, I know the airport, the Ben Gurion airport in Israel has been shut down several hours at a time, several days. Yeah. So that's a fact. So they either they hit it or they were worried they were going to hit it. So they're harassing them. There's no doubt. I mean, and then this thing in Iran, of course, this is, boy, that got quiet, you know, the port at Bandar Abbas, the biggest port in Iran. Just a huge explosion. It's a chemical container and a lot of people died, a lot of people injured. I don't know if they even got it out yet, the fire, but, you know, chemicals just don't explode by themselves, and it just reminds me an awful lot of the
those things are run so carefully. I'm not exaggerating. It's just because it's a second-world nation. Actually, it's a
that's what they want to tell you. Oh, they're a backwards country, and they packed it wrong. It just has all the hallmarks of Mossad. So just like the port in Lebanon was blown up in, 2020?
Well, that was a nuke, don't you agree? I still think that was
it was big, whatever it was. It was huge. It was probably a nuke, And
they claimed it was
fertilizer, but fertilizer doesn't explode on its own either. So, you know, it's the interesting thing is the Zionist media, you know, they didn't even report it. Like, it happened Saturday. You would think it would have been the headline on every Sunday talk show, right? But there wasn't a peep. So that tells me that, it tells me Israeli did it, and it tells me U.S. knows that, and it tells me, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Trump's not happy with that. He may be not, because, look, I mean, BB came to the White House. He left empty-handed.
Did he?
Trump wouldn't agree to bomb Iran. Instead, we're in Oman in stage three of talks with Iran, and even the Iranians are saying it's going really well. So this is just the Israelis trying to sabotage those talks. The same thing can be said of the thing in Pakistan with, you know, the Pakistani, you know, Lashkar al-Taiba.
You notice how that popped
Kashmir.
Up right after Vance visited, after he was in Rome for the death of the Pope, and which happened literally on Easter Sunday, I'm told by sources in the Vatican.
I think this is the bloodline. You know, this is the City of London people trying to sabotage Trump's attempt to make peace with Russia and Trump's attempt to make a deal with Iran. I mean, I know Trump's a joke, man, and he's doing a lot of stupid shit, like kicking people out of the country that, you know, say they like the Palestinians. I mean, it's just draconian, but all kinds of things that he's doing.
But in this case, they don't like genocide.
They're sabotaging us. They're the bloodline. I mean, look at NATO. They're sitting there. Oh yeah, you know. I mean, they're talking about supporting Zelensky militarily. If we don't, well, go for it. You know, and then we can just drop out of NATO. But this is really a chance. It pisses me off because Trump capitulated to the bondholders, right? I mean, that's what happened when the stock market stabilized. When the stock market was going down. You know, it's pretty bad, and that's a good thing because
were making a lot of noise about dumping $1 trillion in bonds.
But the Chinese probably were, and that's gonna still happen. But who was really dumping the bonds was the Rothschilds. because the Rothschilds are the bondholders. I mean, China's got like $1 trillion of our debt, okay? But we got $36 trillion. And $30 trillion of that is the 8 families that own the Fed, right? Rockefeller, Rothschild, Warburg, you know the names. Kudlow, Goldman Sachs. And so, look, look, man, they didn't freak out when stocks went down. But as soon as the dollar and the bond market, as soon as the dollar went down and interest rates went up pretty rapidly, and they're still kind of creeping up on the 30-year, that's when Trump capitulated. So, you know, look, if he really was a working-class hero, if he really wanted to rearrange the world order and take out the Bretton system and take out the city of London, he would have just let that. He would have preempted that, and he would have known that you have to go arrest these people first before you can put these tariffs on. You have to go to Fort Knox and do the audit. Then you have to go to the New York Fed third sub basement, and you have to see where all this gold is, and then you have to take it back, and then you have to say to the Rothschilds and these families, "We're not paying your $30 trillion back. This is ill-gotten debt. You can go fuck yourselves." And not only that, but you're going to jail. And just show up at their houses. And you got the U.S. military at your disposal, so you got no excuses. But instead, he capitulated to them. And, you know, what's so funny about it is all the liberals are like, "Oh, look, Trump's crashing the stock market. That's terrible." So now the liberals love the stock market. You know, first they love the CIA and the FBI and the mainstream media because they go after Trump. Now they love the stock market because Trump's tanking it. I want him to tank it. I want it to go down. I mean, he should have stuck with it, but he should have done these certain things like arrested those people, canceled the debt. You know, you fix the dollar to a basket of currencies, I mean, a basket of commodities, including gold. You drop out. You pull out of the IMF and the WTO. You pull out of NATO. You have to do all these things at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you can cancel that debt. Yeah. And then guess what? The bond market wouldn't go down because the bondholders are in jail and that debt is gone. And so there are no more $30 trillion of 30-year treasury bonds that we owe. What was it today? They reported something about, I don't know, how many billion dollars we're going to have to pay this quarter on that debt. And everything you pay in taxes, by the way, it doesn't go to the military. It doesn't go to Social Security or Medicaid. It goes to the interest on the debt to these scumbag parasites, City Loan and Fox.
Well, this is totally unconstitutional. This whole thing
totally
is unconstitutional.
But see, if he really was that working class hero, if he really was that populist, if he really was that guy that's going to, you know, liberate us from these bankers, that's what he would have done. And he would know that. He would know that. Because people know that in his administration, you know. And
how many times
so.
has just off the top, how many times has Trump in 100 days or thereabout already reversed himself on profoundly strong statements he's made? Then a few days later, he says something exactly the opposite. He doesn't even explain why he changed his mind. He just makes a different pronouncement. This is really
nuts. It's nuts, and it's a mistake. That's his mistake. And, you know, again, the liberals are mad because the stock market's going down. The conservatives, they got all jittery, too, because guess what? They all have 401ks, and they all have vested interests, and they all got in bed with the devil, and they seem to think that's just fine. But I know that, you know, look, you look at a chart of the stock market from, like, 1939, when we came out of the Depression, to 1980, it was pretty much flat, okay? Gained a little bitty bit. Not much.
Right.
Just flat. Okay, and then Reagan came in, deregulated everything. The corporations came to rule the world. In other words, the Rothschilds. And the oligarchy formed, and the concentration of wealth became untenable, and here we are. And so everybody said, "Oh, 401k, that's so great." Well, Reagan said, "Yeah, here's what we'll do. We'll take away the pension system where it used to be General Electric or whatever corporation you work for would pay 100% of your retirement, right?" And Reagan said, "No, we're going to do this 401k where they pay half of it now. They'll match it. Isn't that wonderful? And then you'll pay the other half. Not only that, but you'll take the risk because you're going to have to go into the stock market." So he sold it like it was some great thing, but it was actually a downgrade on the pension system that most people used to have. And so, you know, look, man, we got to bring this thing back to earth. And during that time when it was flatlined, this is when there was a middle class. This is when people had, you know, could take 2 or 3 vacations every year. This is when the unions were strong. This is when, you know, nobody had much debt. Everything was, this was the best times of America, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s. That was when the stock market was flat, okay? So people got to get it through their stupid heads that when the stock market goes up, it's bad. It's bad. And if you're in it, then you need to get out. And, you know, that's another thing that somebody smart, president, could help them get out. Could say, hey, instead of having this 401k, let's get rid of that and let's have
a government
bond.
Dean, this is
where
important.
You get 5% interest for investing in roads and bridges and things that help the country. It's not that hard, man.
Oh,
it's just it's just
you're
being ruled by scumbags, and they're all, you know, they're all scared, or they're in bed, or they're stupid, or I don't know what. Everything, all of the above, I guess. But yeah, he had his chance, and see, I like the tariffs. I think the tariffs are good. I mean, it's a good idea because guess what? China doesn't pay that tariff when the Apple iPhones come out. Apple pays those tariffs. U.S. doesn't pay the tariffs on the soybeans when they go into China.
Nobody knows this.
Cargill pays the tariff. Cargill, the big egg cartel that was ripping you off for like 6 months. And nobody would even say the name Cargill, even though they own 50% of the egg trade. You know, and all Trump had to do was say, we're going to investigate. And guess what? Egg prices came down like by half. And that always happens. I've seen that happen over and over and over. All they have to say is, we're going to investigate price fixing. And the next day, you know, it's gone. So, see, the tariffs actually would be deflationary in the end, not inflationary. That's most economists are stupid, and they say, oh, it's going to raise the price of everything. No. It would go the other way because there's going to be no ships from China. It's already drying up. It's already, and so this is a great way to battle inflation, in other words, which is a huge problem. So if you want to battle inflation, you do the tariffs. But he chicken shit it out, and he tossed them over the side, and he said, oh, we'll wait 90 days. And that was the mistake. That was the mistake. And he did that when the bond market, the interest rates went up and the dollar went down.
Right. Because he did the right thing at the time. There he goes. The emperor has no clothes. No, he's done.
No, and that
he
just tells you what.
He backed down. If he's going to play tough guy, he had to be prepared to write it out. He didn't do it.
Yeah, and you got the U.S. military behind you, so you can play tough guy, and you should. And, you know, somebody at some point has to grab these bankers by the scruff of the neck and do these things. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to get this. You're going to get a bombing in a port in Israel, you know, or in Iran, I mean. And you're going to get. So what? Here's what he should do. Okay, if we find out, the Iranians don't know yet either. They're not saying it. They're very, you know, they're very actually very measured people, despite the, you know, the media attempts to portray them as crazy fanatic Muslims.
I've never seen them running around off the cuff nuts. No.
They're not even saying Israel did it yet. They're saying we're going to investigate it. But I'm pretty sure they did it, and I'm pretty sure.
From some advanced tech weaponry.
Covered it up. Yeah. So if that's found to be true, you know, if Trump was really a man of the people, what would he do? Oh, well, guess what? He would bomb the fuck out of Israel and the city of London. That's what needs to be done. That's what needs to be done. And I can say that because I'm an American. I have free speech. I hear people on TV all the time saying we should bomb Iran. So that's what I'm going to say tonight. And that's the solution. You know, and if we're not willing to do that, I've always said this, right? You've heard me say it over and over and over, Jeff. The Middle East policy is going to determine Trump's fate. And, you know, but it doesn't look good because
he's up to his shoulders right now. A lot of
people didn't expect him to talk to Iran, and he's doing it. And I said he might. I've said it. And people maybe thought I was nuts. Oh, he won't do that. Well, he did it.
I hope his life insurance is paid up. I'm serious. I don't trust these.
For real. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But see, the thing is, instead of living in fear and, you know, waiting for another Kennedy to happen, let's go bomb these fuckers. Let's go take them out. We got the biggest military in the world, don't we? Last I checked. This little bitty fucking country go bomb the U.S. Liberty and, I don't know, drag us into all these wars and... Yeah, now they're causing trouble in Pakistan to try to cause a nuclear war. These are Satanists, man. These people love bloodshed, war, genocide. You've seen everything,
historically,
right? So why don't we just take care of it?
Yeah.
If there's any semblance of America left.
Yeah, be careful on the F words. We got a lot of kids listening, young people. I just want to...
Yeah, okay, fine.
Anyway, it's cool. Your point is very well taken. With or without them. I get it. We get it. You're right. You're 100% on. This whole thing is disgusting. Let me go back to the stock market for just a minute. The American public has no idea that this is no longer the world of Frank Capra, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. The American mom and pop no longer control the majority of the stock market. Institutional investors, let's say Vanguard, let's say State Street, let's say BlackRock, they own 80% of the entire market. They control it. Mr. and Mrs. America out of it.
Good
They're
point.
Struggling to put
Very
food on the table. So forget that.
Forget that. And, they act like it's some kind of, everybody owns stocks, and it's just, you know, it benefits everyone. And that was kind of my point. And it's like, it doesn't. It just makes the rich richer. That's where we're
absolutely.
At
no,
so
the game is
it's
over.
It's not good.
We no longer, we're not players anymore. No, we're not. Mm-hmm. We're not even in it.
No, and so the best thing, look, if you want to prick the inflation bubble that's affecting every asset class, where do you start? The stock market. It's the biggest bubble of all. Am I wrong? So it has to go down. I mean, if we're going to prick the housing bubble,
our whole lives.
Which has to also go down because our kids aren't going to be able to afford a house, our grandkids, I mean, they're going to be in, indentured servants their whole life, paying for this, this $600,000 shack.
You got it.
Into 2030. So, look, if we're going to get serious about inflation, we got to prick the stock market bubble first. Then we got to prick the housing bubble, and then we got to prick everything else bubble. But it's just vultures and it's cartels, and there's no competition, and that's the main reason these bubbles exist, because there's price fixing everywhere. The rules of economics don't even apply anymore. I mean, when there's three companies that control the meat packing trade, and there's two companies that control the egg trade. I mean, there's no competition. So and that's the other thing you have to do. You have to go after these cartels and you have to break them up. You have to go after BlackRock and break them up. You have to prevent BlackRock from from building houses to rent them, which is what they were doing for the last 3 years. You know, just feeding this housing bubble. There's a lot, but these are things that are never going to happen because Trump's not what he said he was. That's all. And who is? Who can we look to in the United States politically that even talks about these kind of things? Nobody.
Nobody. No,
so again, we're counting on the Russians. Okay, honestly.
You can make that argument all day long.
I don't think anybody here is going to do it.
Check this out. Right after World War II ended, talking about 1950, 1949, 51, there was a building boom, the likes of which this country has never seen. They were building about 1,000 square feet, 1,100 maybe, three-bedroom, two-bath, tract homes, tract houses, everywhere, as fast as they could build them. The country was in high prosperity, tract homes. This is 1,000 square feet is not much, friends, okay, to put a little three-bedroom, two-bath house in, that square footage, that footprint. It's something. It's wonderful.
It's all you need,
Do you know what those 75-year-old homes are going for now in Goleta, which is right next to Santa Barbara, for example? I spent a lot of time there. I know the area. Right? Just looked it up.
Imagine.
The Goleta tract home, 1,000 square feet, average $1.4 million in March of 2025. $1.4 million. And there are tens of thousands of these homes, and they're 75 years old, and they're built with 2x4s, little tiny houses.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
that's crazy.
I'm in favor of people, whatever you can do, get your home, get it. But by God, how are you going to buy a $1.4 million home in this country with this economy?
No, you can't.
It's not going to happen.
No, you can't. And again, just to kind of expound on that point, I mean, back in those days when they were building those houses, there was a lot of different companies involved in the building, and there
15,000.
They're very spread out as far, nowadays, what do you got? You got Pulte, you got Lennar, you got like three or four home building companies, and they're all traded on the stock exchange. And guess what? if they know there's a housing shortage, right? That's all you hear about, right? I mean, there's an egg shortage. Well, was there really an egg shortage? Was there really bird flu? We don't know. What is there really a housing shortage? I don't know. I look around and I go,
right,
there's more houses than ever, right?
No,
what's going on here?
There's no housing
it's just a
shortage.
Lie. And that's all you have to do. It's like Cargill. They'll let ships sit out. Yep, they'll let ships set out at sea full of soybeans and say, oh, there's a soybean shortage, and it'll drive the price of soybeans up. And they manipulate the market. They're doing the same thing with the housing market.
That's how they're telling you
there's a shortage of houses, but there's not.
Yes.
You know? There's not.
There's not.
So
no, there's not.
People, but also the other problem, you know, honestly, is these young kids, they don't know how to negotiate. They don't care to negotiate. They'll pay whatever stupid price you're asking for anything, not just a house, but for anything. Nobody taught them right. How to spend their money. Nobody, you know, the old timers, like where I'm from anyway here in South Dakota, like the old farmers, I mean, man, the farmers that, like my dad and other farmers I worked for when I was younger, mm-hmm. They would negotiate everything. I mean, everything. I mean, you know, they'd all have a big old gas, like 500-gallon
tank for
gasoline.
That was our culture then. We'd sit down and talk.
That was the culture. Nobody, you know, you weren't allowed to come in here just so you know, this is the price. I mean, no. We're gonna negotiate this. There's none of that anymore. These kids, it's washed out. But also, it's not just their fault because the cartels don't really allow that to happen.
You got it.
You know, because back in that day, you could if one company said, well, no, we won't give you a cut rate on this 500 gallons of gas. You could go somewhere else. Or propane, you go somewhere else. But now, no, there's one gas company maybe. There's one propane company maybe. And so it's not even possible to negotiate. So that's where we're at. And until we get president, a Teddy Roosevelt kind of president, you know, that wants to go in there and be a trust buster. And that, you know, you're hoping that, yeah, I mean, Trump's got a big picture of Teddy Roosevelt in his White House, and he obviously likes the guy. So what are you doing about it?
He's got to remember, tragically, Dean, he's got to remember Dealey Plaza. He's got to. They will not hesitate.
Yeah.
They will not hesitate. And this Netanyahu is a one satanic evil.
Oh, yeah.
SOB.
That's why
this
we should just go round them up. Preemptive strike. You can't wait for these people to assassinate. You can't wait for these people to bomb Iranian ports.
The Samson
you have to
option.
Go after them.
They'll destroy
and
Europe.
You have to do it yesterday.
Nukes.
Do it yesterday. Yeah. Well, don't be scared either. There's no reason to be scared. There's no reason to live in fear. Oh, they might assassinate me. Dude, you got the most powerful military on earth. And don't tell me they're all in cahoots with Netanyahu and the deep state, because they're not. A few of them are. Well, go arrest them, too. But that's what you have to do. You have, I mean, if you're claiming to be a tough guy, be a tough guy. I want you to be a tough guy. I want you to go after them. I don't
care
what the liberal media says about it. I don't care if they don't like it. I don't care if they say, oh, he's a fascist, he's a Nazi. I don't care. They need to be grabbed by the scruff of the neck and dealt with. The Netanyahus of the world. Yeah, the Mark Carneys of the world. The little Bank of England governor who's the Prime Minister of Canada.
Yeah,
screw Canada, man. They hate us. They've always hated us. I've been there a number of times. I've traveled. The Canadians have always hated us.
Yeah.
So don't give me this stuff about, oh, it's because of Trump. We're not going to trade with you anymore. So what? We don't care.
No.
We don't want to trade with you.
No.
I don't care.
Wait, see,
and I've traveled to 50 countries, and I've seen the Europeans, too. And, yeah, these Europeans are coming up to you in Thailand or Malaysia or something. Oh, yeah, these Americans, it's all your fault. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What about these royal families that run your country and own the stocks of all these companies, the military companies in America? Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. But they just think they're better than us. And they think
Europe's done. It's done. They're done. They're not coming back. I don't see it.
Fine with me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad for the people, but the crooks that run them countries it's even worse than the ones that run our country. But that's what I mean. Like, you got to go after these royals. You got to go after these titled people. You should exit NATO. Yeah, you should get out of that right away.
Oh, how about the United Nations? Come on. How about the World Health Organization?
The hell with the media. Yeah, the United Nations is another one. Get out of it.
None of these things that should have anything to say about
World Health Organization, all these things. Yep, get out of it. And that's the problem. That's the problem I see with Trump. It's almost like in America you have to either worship Trump like a daddy figure, and he's your, you know, he's your hero, he's a big savior, or you have to hate Trump and everything he does is wrong. Why do you have to be one way or the other? Why can't you just use your own brain and say, well, I kind of like this, what he's doing, but this sucks. You know,
we're not taught to do that anymore. We're programmed not to do that anymore.
And if you do that, they think, well, this guy's nuts, or this guy's inconsistent, or this guy's... It's just stupid. It's a stupid culture we live in, dude. I mean, it's so stupid right now.
Oh, I'm with you 100%.
No, it's like, wow. But if you actually have your own brain, you're not going to have any friends. You're not going to have any. You're just going to be. But whatever. I don't care.
Fine by me.
I have been doing this program. You don't care either.
May 1st starts the 32nd year this program has been on and offering service to Americans who want to think. And people all around the world. Yep. You people who live abroad and listen all the time, too. You're part of this family. And this is not domination factor. We're in the minority. We always have been. We always will be. But at least, thank God, it's there for people to hear and to think about and to trade ideas on. That's what we're all about here.
That's what it is, man. That's what it's all about. And that's what it
your
is
views
to keep being.
Have always been spot on. Never. I've known you for a long time. You know, you tell it straight, right on the money. And it is
true. But that's the thing. It's like right now, I feel like, you know, of course the media does this. It's total mind control. It's total MK Ultra. And so they're, you know, again, like the liberals, the conservatives, their criticism of Trump is that he's tanking the stock market. Both sides of the hive mind. My criticism of Trump is that he didn't let the market tank when it was tanking. And he didn't arrest the people.
Plunge protection team. See, it's all about, I don't care if you're talking about the average man or woman on the street. There's no accountability anymore, especially for higher government institutions, private investors. Those people never held accountable, and they should be. The market should go down. It should fail.
It's called normal business. That's right. But they rig it and they run it. And again, why do you think the dollar's going down? How many times have I said on this show, you know, if you're a country and you go against the Illuminati bankers, they will crash your currency? How many times have I said that? Look what's happening in the United States right now. They don't like Trump. I mean, think what you want of Trump. And I don't like him either, but for different reasons. But they don't like him. They don't like
Trump.
Him.
In your estimation, this is a projection, it's a guess. Did he run off the rails? Did he plan to do this? Was this him?
Well, that's what we don't know. I mean, is that fake too? Is he just that Trump card and he's just in there to do exactly this?
But the idea of
like
not allowing things to play out, no accountability, is death. It's death to any country. We're not going to.
It is.
People
it's
have to go out of business.
Anymore,
they
got to
lose. They got to smart. They got to feel the pain. It's just not going to happen otherwise. One quick
thing. It's the same thing. Same thing Hank Paulson said, right? I mean, you know, back in 2008. I mean, right? I mean, instead of letting it all crash and the mortgage-backed derivatives. No, they bailed out, you know, the big banks, and plunge protection, right? And that's what has to stop. I mean, there has to be a president in this country that is willing to let the stock market crash, because that's the biggest bubble in the land. And if we
don't do that,
we're not going to have a future. Yeah. We're not going to have it. No. And if you let those tariffs play out, they will be deflationary. They really will.
Most countries are
just let it play out.
We're the only apparently we're the country that wasn't putting tariffs on American goods, and everybody else was tariffing. If that's true, Trump was 100% correct to try to balance that terrible inequality. And I don't know if that's true or not. I think it is.
Think about it. When I ran for Congress 2004 in Missouri, my biggest issue was pulling out of NAFTA, pulling out of WTO, and free trade agreements. What's he doing? That's what he's doing. So now what do the liberals say? Oh, we hate that. I see. So now you love free trade. So what if Trump went after the devil and put him in jail? Would you defend the devil? Yeah, they would. They would defend the devil.
They would say
Trump did it. It's bad, and we love the devil. That's where the liberals are going, and that's really sad. That's even more sad than Trump.
Well, where they're going is down and out. They're
going to hell, literally.
I hope.
I mean, it seems like. Yeah, and they're 27%. Yeah, I mean, so.
That's accountability, and they deserve
it's just crazy.
All this DEI crap, LGBTQ crap. Come on.
No, exactly.
Teaching little children porn
it's horrible.
In their school
they're
books.
Stuck there. What's liberal about any of that?
That's not John Kennedy liberalism. That's not Democrat liberalism as it used to be 75 years ago, 50 years ago.
No.
Nothing to do with it.
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. And it has nothing to do with helping working people or anything. And so they've been led astray by this woke agenda, which is, again, it's all engineered by the corporations and the Black Rocks.
I mean, BlackRock
is the biggest player behind all this ESG stuff, the biggest player. Little Wally, Adamayo, you know, Biden's Treasury Secretary, BlackRock, former BlackRock guy, Larry Fink guy. And it's just, you know, so, look, I mean, yeah, it's all just kabuki, but I think that's part of the agenda is for sure is to really corrupt the left wing and just make them look hideous. That's always been a big thing they've had
to do. Well, they've never looked worse right now. That's the general portrait.
That's right. And so if you can do that, because look, that's what really scares them, okay? That's what really scares the city of London, right? It's not people like Trump who are going to do this halfway stuff and going to give tax cuts. It's the people like, you know, Castro, and it's the people like Gaddafi, and it's the people like Mahathir Mohamad, and the Malaysian prime minister who actually saves the Malaysian
currency. Was he 95 years old now or something?
Yeah, probably, yeah, he's... Yeah, and still a leader of the global South, and he was the guy that, you know, when Soros attacked the Southeast Asian currencies in 97, they all crashed except the Malaysian ringgit because Mohamed was prime minister, and he said, no, we're going to fix the Malaysian ringgit to a basket of commodities, and we're going to pull out of these trade agreements, exactly what I'm saying Trump has to do to save the dollar. You know, if he's going to let the stock market crash, if he's going to do the tariffs, if he's going to do the right thing. And so, anyway, those are the people they're really scared of. The leftists, the real leftists, the people that are going to say, look, let's do land reform, let's break up cartels, let's really help, you know, working class and middle class people, and let's strip the assets from the billionaire class, you know, and stuff like that. That's what they're really scared of. So part of what they have to do constantly, all the time, is constantly be discrediting the liberals, the left, and turning them into, like, blathering idiots, I guess. But that's the thing. They're all fake. They're not. None of them are really leftists. There's no left in this country. There's nobody in this country that...
No, for example,
supports the Houthis or supports, you know, the people that are really fighting in this world for justice.
Cynthia McKinney left the country.
Bangladesh, man. She had to flee this country because she was being stalked by the CIA. And then that's what happens. Paul Wellstone went down a plane crash, killed by the CIA. I mean, everybody that's ever been a real leftist, they've targeted, they've gotten rid of, you know, they've run them out of Congress. They've tried to kill. They marginalized. They've taken out their websites like me. You know, that's who they're really scared of. And then they say, oh, the conservatives have their websites deleted. Right. No, who had their websites deleted, who really gets harassed are people like me and people like Cynthia McKinney and people like Mahathir Mohamad. And, you know, people like that, because that's what they're really scared of in the end.
It's true.
And because that's the solution. That's the solution. If you want to fight these, you know, these oligarchs, you know, you have to go ahead on after them. And you can't be scared of them at all. And I'm not. And I'm not going to be scared of anything on this earth. I'm not going to be scared of the dark principalities that control this earth because I got God on my side.
Right.
And that's what we're commanded to do on this earth. Is help.
I think that's a very appropriate way to phrase it. We are commanded to stand up against evil.
We
have to.
Whatever your religious tradition, yes. They all say the same thing. And that's what Jesus did. And he was also, look at what happened to Jesus. Jesus was the first, like, leftist revolutionary. What did he do? He lived with a backpack on in the mountains, had no possessions, you know, hung out with the poor, scorned the rich, overturned the money changers. He was a free man, and I would argue he's a leftist, you know. And he didn't like the rich too much, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why should we? Why are we sitting here fawning over the feet of the rich? That's what most Americans do. Why? I mean, is that a godly thing to do, really?
No, that's a very good question.
Is that really? Rhetorical, is that what you want your tombstone?
Perfect.
You know, I licked the boots of rich people my whole life. Is that what you want your tombstone? Because there's no dignity in that. And then...
Dignity. All right. Let me ask you this. How many people in politics, invisible politics, have either integrity or dignity? Really? None.
Zero.
I can't think of any.
Zero.
No, wait, I can't. Thomas Massie.
Okay, there you go. You're right. Yeah, you're right. He's one.
There's a few.
There's a couple. But not as many as it used to be. There used to be quite a few back in the day. Well,
they, I don't think they run for office anymore. They know it's rigged. They don't want the grief. Yeah. A lot of people.
Or they just can't. Or they
decision.
Just can't win. They may run, but
well,
they can't win because they have no money. But yeah, you're right. A lot of them just don't even run because they know they can't win because they know they have to have all
and
this money.
And if they do win,
and they don't give you any money. They don't give you money.
Totally
if you're
controlled.
If you know, how did Massey even get in there? I have no idea because you know they won't give you money. I mean, they won't give me money when I ran. I didn't get any. I got zero money. I would have took it anyway from these corporations, but they didn't offer it either.
Right.
And my opponent got $1 million. I got zero.
Well,
that's how it is.
People,
so if you're a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, you get it.
If people
but they
knew
don't know
how terribly controlled everything is, they would become depressed. But we can't do that. If we knew how terribly controlled it is, and this listening audience does know, they're not quitting.
Yeah.
They're using it to become enlightened.
No.
And they're spreading the word. They are.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm very
That's
proud
right.
of these people. You people are the
That's
best,
right. Me too.
Period.
Me too. We've come a long ways. We've come a long ways in the last few years. And you know, I know we're talking, you know, all this stuff. But hey, man, you know, this is why we do it. Because we want more people to think this way. We want, and it's worked. Guess what? We're winning. In a very real sense, the information war, we're winning it. But is there time? I don't know. What's the time? But it doesn't even matter. Because all we have to do is to keep doing this. Because this is what God commands of us. This is what Creator demands of us. This is what the earth demands of us. There was the EMP today that took out the power grid in Spain and Portugal. Interesting. All these northern lights, man. All these northern lights. God, every third night here in South Dakota, they're saying, go out and look at the northern lights. Why do you think that's happening? There's EMPs going crazy off the sun. I think God's pretty much at a point now where he's, you know, either you straighten up or you're done. Where I'm just going to cook you all because you failed to stop evil on this earth. Again.
That's true.
Again. Yeah. This ain't the first time. Again. And I don't want that to happen, and that's why I'm so pissed off and just passionate about this stuff, because I don't want that to happen. I want the people to live. I want us to win. I don't play to lose. I'm not a loser, you know. I have my dignity. Nobody took it from me, and I'm going to keep it. And that, you know, but that's the way we have to be. We, instead of being depressed or scared, no, be a fighter. They've done studies, you know, like different emotions, like what's the worst emotions, like for your health and for your, you know what I mean, and like, anger actually isn't that bad. Anger actually is a healthy thing, because if it's directed properly, right?
It's cathartic.
But the worst things are, like, depression, like sadness. That's terrible. Don't be sad. Don't do that, man. I know it's easy to do now. I know it's, because it's weird times, man. Everything's just so weird. I know it's easy to just fall into that. Plus, they're hitting us with Wi-Fi. They're hitting us with 5G. And I know that stuff is making people depressed.
Let's mention this, not to bring anybody down, but you need to know and you need to keep this in mind. 5.5 billion people have been given the injection called COVID vaccine. That's huge. And those people have had, in many, most cases, maybe 30 years of their lives reduced, gone, taken away. It's gone. And not a joke. They got conned. They bought into it. They bought into the fear, and they lined up, and they rolled up their sleeves. And now what do they have? Spike mRNA. And they're in real trouble. They don't understand the evil they're up against.
No, they don't.
That's been our biggest job, to try to make people get it. Help them to the realization. What you see in front of you is evil, and there is good and evil on this planet. And you've got to face it. You've got to know. You've got to
face
it.
That's the only,
it's not a hard lesson. It's just the truth.
It's just the truth. And if you don't face it, well, A, we're going to all die.
No, you're out of the game.
B, then you'll be depressed. When I'm not depressed is what I'm fighting, okay? When I'm doing what I have to do on this earth. When I am, if I get depressed, it's because I'm not doing enough, because I need to do more, you see? And I bet you've had that happen where you just kind of, well, you probably haven't. You just go off the time.
Well,
you know, good for you, but
I do.
But you know what I mean.
It's why I'm here. That's why you're there, and it's why our listeners are there, because we're part of the, really the only hope left on this planet for people who care.
We are.
And
I
do feel a little discouraged sometimes, like I'm not doing nearly enough.
I know.
But I'm realistic. All I can do is the best I can do. And I do it every day, just like you and just like many of you listening.
Yep.
You do your
that's
best.
Right.
And that's what binds
us
all together.
Yeah.
It really
does. That's right. We're a tribe. We're a disparate tribe, but we're a tribe. And, you know, it's just think of us as an Indian clan, you know, back in the day, except we live all over the world, you know. But we have the same consciousness, we have the same goals, the same, really, generally the same, you know, mission. And And that is just to bring the good, you know, and to crush the evil. But yeah, you're so right about that. People, I've said that for years, you know, people just don't realize what we're up against. And that's the biggest problem. And it goes back to the, you know, a lot of things. But like, look at the Gnostic teachings that were just suppressed, you know, by the Catholic Church. And those Gnostics knew about this evil that was on this earth and that ran this earth.
99.8% of people don't even know what Gnosticism was.
Right, because they were suppressed, because all their writings were left out of the Bible. When the Emperor Constantine convened the Council of Nicaea, Constantine was, of course, a Habsburg, you know? Well, probably the most powerful of the bloodline names.
Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Yeah.
It's true.
It is amazing, the continuity. Yeah. Look, the Habsburgs killed Jesus. I mean, it's crazy, right? It's like, it's the same damn families. It's the same bloodline. It's the same Anunnaki hybrid bloodline. That came here and just self-proclaimed the royalty. All of a sudden, we're the special people, and we're going to run you. And this is 8,500 years old by my reckoning, and this is what we're up against, okay? And it's evil, and it's evil. It's humans are not evil. You know, this is another big mistake people have is that, you know, so, you know, how many times have you heard people say, oh, it's just human nature, or, oh, they're only human. Really? Humans are great. Humans are beautiful. Humans are, like, created perfect because we were created by God. These creatures that run this earth are not human. And when you see this, the crap that they're pushing on TV on people and the crap that they're pushing into people's heads and hearts and making them think in certain ways, this is the evil. So it's not the humans that are evil. It's the Anunnaki that are evil. And people have to love humans. People have to know that we are, you know, they have to love themselves and they have to love humanity, not loathe humanity like, oh, gee, we're only human. Only human,
and
really.
Back off.
I mean, that's a slap in the face of God. That's a slap. That's a satanic statement right there.
Nicely said. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't think that way, but everybody thinks that way. You notice that? Everybody. Almost damn near everyone.
Well, that's
to me, it's a really kind of a on-your-knees, dejected, undignified...
No, that's the consensus America now. 75% of America fits that role. They've got him trained.
At least. Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
And there's just these things like that. These crown-created perceptions that aren't human, that aren't human, that aren't natural, that aren't true... You know, like germ theory, not true. It's toxins, you know, that are killing us. That, you know, that are creating whatever these problems are that people have, these sicknesses, these illnesses. Like particle physics.
I can
true.
Guarantee you this: you eat the average American diet of processed food. I guarantee you, you're going to become terminally ill in time, whether it's short time or long time. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
You're cutting your life short if you eat the great American diet. Then you participate in all the ancillary and auxiliary products that people use, right? Makeup, poison, toxic,
food,
hairspray, all these kinds
designed
of things.
Designed to kill. Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
Look at the
all
ingredients.
All part of the kill program.
If a processed food ingredient has more than 10 ingredients, put it back. Just put it back.
Yeah,
go find something else.
Put it back.
I have a greenhouse, okay? I have a greenhouse, and I've got raised beds in it. I raise my own lettuce, my own spinach.
Yep.
I get two kinds of lettuce, and I go out there, and I harvest, and I come in, I wash it, and I chop it up, and I bag it up, and it'll last for a week in a bag in the fridge.
Yep.
And I get avocados,
definitely.
Organic, and I get carrots, and I get this, and I get that.
Yep.
And I have
we
the best salads I've ever had. You know. It doesn't even taste the same in the market. Not that I've eaten much of that lately at all, believe me, but in the old days, I used to say, why does this taste so good? It's sweet.
No, exactly.
Lettuce is sweet. Nature provides you with sugar.
Yeah.
You don't need to add sugar. Anyhow.
No, you can't get it, but that's the thing, and that's what we have to go back to, and then even beyond that, especially just gathering stuff and just living simple, just everything that was sold to us as progress or, you know, the American dream or what we should strive
progress
for.
Progress is
law,
our most important product. General Electric. Ronnie Reagan.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He was the guy. He mouthed the slogan.
And it's like, you know, affluenza, I guess is a good word. Affluenza, it's like, you know, getting rich, getting material stuff, getting a big house,
things,
makes you sick.
Things. It's all about things. Things.
Yeah, things.
We'll make you sick.
All right, man.
Last thing here, real quick. The USS Truman was under attack today by the Houthis.
That's it.
And
That's it.
Did some very serious maneuvering at sea, as fast as a big ship like that can move. And an F-18 fell right off the deck into the ocean. They lost it. Went right off the deck.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, that's oh, they're so powerful. Yeah. Sure they are.
All right, Dean. You be safe out there, brother. You're doing great.
You too, brother.
Keep it up.
All right,
man.
You take care of yourself.
Right.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Mr. Dean Henderson. All right. And we'll pause and come back with Mitchell Henderson coming up next.